Midday South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. On today's program, we'll discuss the latest in tech news. We'll chat about what else, the Super Bowl, of course. We'll have the latest fraud warnings, and Alphabet is bringing podcasting to Android users. We'll talk about that, and thank goodness they're doing it without another app. Plus, your calls, texts, emails, and Facebook posts. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions via email, midday@sdpb.org, or send a tweet to @sdpb. Join the discussion on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, or call now, 800-524-3604. You can email your suggestions or questions to our guests today, Joel Brovelite or Jeff Litterick. That email address again, midday@sdpb.org. All that after this news from SDPB Radio. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer your questions. In the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls, it's myself, Ken Osborne, and Mac guru Joel Brovelite. Hey, Joel.
Hey.
How's your Friday going?
So far.
So far, so good. And also on the line from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Pierre, Jeff Litterick is with us today. Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
How's your weekend shaping up? Got big Super Bowl plans?
Not too big this year. Neither of my teams that I kind of root for got in, so.
So you'll
still be a good game.
Watching from the sidelines then.
Yep.
Well, we're going to talk quite a bit about the Super Bowl today. We're not going to talk anything to do with really football, but we've had a variety of things that we're going
to
talk about.
To be fair, does the Super Bowl really have a lot to do with football anymore?
Well, not for people like Jeff whose teams aren't in it.
Right,
know,
for sure.
Course.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, most people, I think, they'll pick a team, but they root for a different team. And so many NFL teams, it's hard. They can't all be in the Super Bowl.
And the thing was, go ahead, Jeff.
It's kind of interesting because this is from E! News, Entertainment News, but they did a little poll about what you're looking forward to in the Super Bowl, and only 20% of those polled were actually looking forward to watching the game. Most people were more interested in the commercials and the halftime show than the game itself. So,
yeah, I don't know about, is it Coldplay? Isn't that the halftime show?
Part of the halftime show. Yeah. So I think there's quite a few guest performers coming on with them and stuff too.
Yeah, I guess the commercials used to be the big thing. I mean, and I don't know, maybe they still are for reasons.
I think the big thing with commercials right now is they're all online before the Super Bowl, it seems like. So there's already channels out there that you can watch just about every Super Bowl commercial today that's going to be played then. So I wonder if that takes away some of the impact because people don't need to wait for the Super Bowl to actually see the Super Bowl ads anymore.
Yeah, I kind of went through and watched a few of them that had to do with tech. I thought it'd be an interesting thing to talk about on the show today. And there were a couple of really cool commercials, LG's OLED TV commercial, which is OLED is the really super thin, bendable kind of screen kind of a thing. It's almost a matrixy kind of a commercial, which is kind of really interesting, I think. Of course, it's a commercial for a TV, but it's tech related. And then the ladies will like the Hyundai commercial that's talking about pedestrian detection, which is really cool. It's a couple of young ladies in a Hyundai, of course, that get distracted. You can't imagine how. And the car actually detects pedestrians and stops the car if you're not paying attention. So that was kind of an interesting use of tech, but it's still the old sex sells in the commercial thing, but it's just kind of a neat feature on the car, and I can imagine
coming to a car near you soon.
Yeah, so you can text away and not have to worry about running over a guy walking his dogs.
I'm not exactly sure that's what the creators of that technology would say. However, in the instance that you have a slip up, it's nice to know there's a fail safe.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic.
Clearly.
Because texting is, everybody knows it's illegal and it's dangerous, and they do it anyway. And it's one of those things that gets under my
skin.
Yeah,
you know, I think the real trick is people, now I hear and see people maybe aren't texting so much as they might just look down at their phone or You know, they it's just as distracting to pay attention to your phone really in any manner, even if it's to use voice recognition. You're still looking down as you're pressing a button to talk into it or whatever.
Yeah.
So distracted driving, of course, isn't just texting. That's why technologies like this driver assist, which all the major manufacturers are putting in, at least some cars, are really going to be valuable.
I hope it doesn't mean that people are going to get sloppier and think that this is going to say, you know what I'm saying? They loosen up the old pay attention thing the car is going to save their butt in the end.
I assume that there's going to be a kind of a crossing of technology that, you know, as that assist gets better, it will make less, you know, less of a difference as people continue to be distracted. Unfortunately, I'm not very optimistic that people will stop distracted driving, because before phones, people were eating in the cars and putting makeup on in the cars and driving with your leg. I remember, I probably shouldn't admit this, but I remember my dad teaching me how to drive with your knee on a car. So, you know, I mean, distracted driving has a long history. We're just only really been paying super attention to it.
What was he doing with his hands that he needed to... You drive with his
just
knee.
Being just lazy,
having coffee, reading. I mean, I've seen people with papers spread out across the steering
wheel. But you know, I wouldn't say he was particularly distracted. Just that, like, it was a skill he thought was cool. You know, because my dad was very car centric, so he wouldn't eat or drink in his car. So there was never any of that. Of course, it was before mobile phones. Yes, I'm that old. You know, it was just a skill that he thought was useful. For one reason or another.
All right.
But anyway, you know, I mean, that just shows you, I think, distracted driving has a long history.
It was 10 and 2 for me, you know, or whatever. And then,
of course, you know, it's not 10 and 2 anymore. You know
it's
that?
9 and 3.
9 and 3, I guess, because of the size of steering wheels are smaller. No, that's true. Look it up.
Do you speaking of the size of steering wheels, do you remember the old, they called them the suicide knobs on the steering wheel?
I do.
Wheel?
You so can like still a, see them like on a, semis, of course.
Like a doorknob attached to a steering wheel that you would use like to spin that wheel
like a
around.
Meat grinder handle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a, wow. Anyway.
This week in tech, meat grinder handles on your driver's.
Yeah. They'll be, the robots wheel. Will be driving for us soon that's anyway. Right. Just everybody calm down.
I can't wait.
The other commercial I thought was pretty cool, and nothing to do with tech, but coffee, which I love. Death Wish Coffee. Won a 30-second spot through a contest. I think it was Intuit is actually paying the bill, but they had a commercial producer, like a 11-person coffee business.
Yeah, roaster.
And so that'll be interesting to see. I haven't actually watched that one. I'm saving it for the big screen experience.
You know, I always you know. When I watch the Super Bowl, it is entirely for the ads when I'm not already making food or ferrying food out. That's my favorite part is throwing the party. But I always want to watch the ads, but I never seem to catch them. You know, I'm always – that game is getting in the way, and I never get to see all of the ads. And I know I could watch them online, but for some reason watching them – you know, at the time, you know, on the big screen with the people around is what I want to do. But I always miss the good ads. If they just play less of that football game, I'd be golden.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then there's Puppy Bowl, which is big in my family.
Lingerie Bowl and Puppy Bowl and all the bowls.
Puppy Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, there's a special no drone zone this year. Around Levi's Stadium, it extends like, you know, 30 some miles or whatever, which is pretty much a you know, a big chunk of California there. What's going on with that?
Well, it's actually a no fly for everybody, but the interesting part is the 36 miles is the what you might call the deadly force zone. if you fly in even further out but closer, you can get fined up. It's thousands and thousands of dollars worth of fine. But once you enter that zone, and it's kind of interesting because they say, and this has been true of every Super Bowl, though not quite so far, and they and we'll get into the drone stuff here in a sec, but they reserve the right to use deadly force if they think there's any threat. With the drones, though, the FAA is really going all out to make sure everyone gets aware. They have a YouTube commercial, kind of commercial out saying no to the drones. They even have a smartphone app for drone use that lists all the no-fly zones and restrictions and all the rules and stuff. for the area. Plus, it's going forward. Anytime they have restricted airspace, you'll be able to see it. And unlike aircraft, to shoot you down, they don't need to use deadly force because you're not killing anything except a drone. So they seem to be really meaning it from the statements they said that, you know, we will have your drone shot down if necessary, if you're in that 36 miles and we even suspect anything. And it's kind of interesting because today, well, I should say last night, on the other side of the country, someone flew a drone into the Empire State Building. It crashed against the side of the building and dropped down to a patio. He went in and asked security to retrieve it, and instead they called the cops, and he was arrested and hauled off with quite a few charges tacked to him for illegal aircraft operation in New York City and all sorts of stuff. So this stuff can get serious, like the person who just crashed his drone into the side of the Empire State Building is finding out legally. So there are lots of fines, and there are actually criminal charges for flying any aircraft, but even a drone, within 36 miles of the Super Bowl. And those restrictions start a little bit before the game starts, about an hour before, and then goes to about an hour to 2 hours after the estimated time end of the game. So in the morning, yes, you can still fly your drones and stuff. It just at about 2 p.m. Pacific time is when the restrictions go in place. So we could put a link up on the Facebook page that will get you to the app so you can download the app and see all the rules and regulations now. Remember, they are also requiring you to register all drones over a certain weight size, which is pretty much any drone out there. So there's even more fines of thousands of dollars if you would fly and your drone is not registered. So just keep that in mind that they are watching the airspace very, very closely during these events. So,
yeah, that we should mention the name of that app real quick. It's Before You Fly, and, of course, the 4 is the numeral 4, and the U is a capital U, so it's Before You Fly. I was just going to actually load that onto one of my phones. It'll do Android or iOS, so you can get it on either type of phone. I don't know about, of course, Windows. Does anybody talk about Windows phones anymore?
Not really.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, if you have a Windows phone, you're kind of out of it. But if you have an Android tablet or an Apple iPad or whatever, you can download the Before You Fly iOS or Android app, which would be kind of an interesting thing to do. I'd actually like to see South Dakota and see what it's got to say. But definitely, the guy in New York should have probably checked the app before he went flying down there.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yep.
Yep. Hey, one other interesting piece of tech, before we get to that, I should probably remind folks that they can ask questions on today's show. It's perfectly acceptable. You don't have to check an app before you do that. 800-524-3604. If you'd like to ask a question today or make a comment, you can email your questions or suggestions to our guests today, Joel and Jeff. That email address is midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. Of course, at sdpb is our Twitter handle. You can shoot us off a tweet if you wish. And those are just a few of the ways. Facebook.com/techradio is a great place to check out. It's your noon hour, quite possibly you're heading into it in Rapid City out there or somewhere in the western South Dakota. It's just about lunchtime, but go to Tech Radio on Facebook and like that page and drop us a suggestion or two. We'd love to hear about it. Our next show, February 19th, will be that show, and the day after my birthday, just so everybody knows. And so be prepared for that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's one other piece of tech related to the Super Bowl that I wanted to get into, and that has to do with 3D printing something for one of the players, and I thought that was a really interesting thing. We'll mention that after this quick break. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts here in the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls, and we're ready to take your calls and your tweets and your emails here. We do have somebody on the line. Joe from Vermilion has a question regarding Windows 10. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon. I upgraded to Windows 10 on my desktop per your recommendation about a month ago, And since then, when I launch some apps, including my wife's Outlook email, it only fills the screen halfway top to bottom. And it never did it before I upgraded to Windows 10. Can you tell me how to resolve that on a permanent basis or not?
So that it so it just comes full screen or full and then full in the monitor every time you open it?
Yep.
Okay. And the other half that isn't filled, is it just like black space or is it the desktop or?
Screen space.
Screen space. So it's like some sort of.
Green or screen, Joe?
Could be either.
Okay.
So, but you can't mouse over to that location or anything. It's like a glitch type thing.
Yep. I can draw the screen down by putting my cursor on the bottom of the thing and dragging it down, and that solves it. But it
oh,
doesn't solve
okay.
it when you launch it.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds better at least. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder, Jeff. Do you think if he maximized that window, and then shut Outlook or with the X? That the next time it opened, it would come full screen like that?
Maybe. There is a feature called split screen that may be turned on, and that can cause that kind of stuff to happen. Is it the top half of the screen, or is it like the left or right half of the screen that doesn't get filled?
The bottom half of the screen does not get filled. Down to my toolbar.
I'm wondering, Jeff, if he just uses that. So there's three buttons in that window, Joe. There's the little kind of underline that minimizes. There's the square that sort of maximizes that window, and then there's the X. And that middle one, I'm wondering if you just go ahead and sort of maximize that window. I'm wondering if it actually maximizes the window and goes to fill the entire monitor. That would be the first question. And then secondly, if you were to then X out of it and then open Outlook again, if it would come back full screen like that. Because it tends to have the memory to go back to the same size as when you closed it out.
Yeah,
last.
And that's what you need to purge somehow. All applications will remember, not all applications, most applications will remember, you know, the state that you left them in, how big the window is, and a few other things. And that sounds like what's happening to you. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with that version and it's Windows, of course. But I assume it's a preference, and that would be the first thing I would do is open the program, maximize the window, shut everything down, and then as far as those applications, and then open it back up. Usually that will fix things like that. If not, you may need to purge the preferences, and possibly Jeff can tell us how to do that.
Yeah, you're not the only person with this problem. The app is not probably remembering when you close it, the size. It seems to be a known bug. You are not the only one complaining about it. And it tends to only be certain apps, just like you're responding. Don't really have a solution right this second for you, but I'll keep doing some research and see. This may be one of those Windows 10 things that will be fixed in a later patch, I would assume. But it does seem to be a known bug, and it does kind of affect only certain apps. At this time, you can always resize, but it won't remember when you close it out what size and where it was on the screen like it's supposed to. It's probably something stuck in the registry. The problem is you really do not want to mess with that yourself. It's probably just is it something you can live with at this time for a while until Microsoft can fix it, or is it really driving you batty?
Sure, and I'm familiar with the registry, and I don't want to go there, and you're correct. It only does it with certain apps, and I have found a workaround. The workaround that I usually do is to do what you said, to resize it and then close out and then open up. That doesn't always work, though.
Doesn't always work. Another option might be to, and I don't know if this would work, but maybe you could just update the application, get the newest version of that app. Not familiar if there is a newer version of that. I guess we didn't check on version, but a lot of times that's what you need to do, because the manufacturers of of the application. In this case, it's also Microsoft, but that's a separate part of Microsoft. They have to update the application to work with the new operating system. So you might just see if there's an update or a newer version you can get that may be anywhere from free to a small amount of money. So that might be an option too.
Here's something you can do. And this actually mainly seems to be affecting the Edge browser that came new with Windows 10, is if you're closing it with the X up in the corner, it will not remember its settings. But if you actually go over to the window box, which is in the upper left-hand corner, drop that down and do the close from there, people are reporting then it will remember the settings. So once you do that at full size, it should remember, and then you can use the X in the future. If you want to make changes, go over to the other one. Shouldn't work like that. Like we said, it's a bug, but that may be able to help you get around.
Excellent. I do have one other question if you have time.
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Right after I upgraded to Windows 10, immediately the first time after my system rebooted itself, it completely changed my login screen. And now on my login screen, there's a picture of my wife. I have no idea where it came from, perhaps from Facebook. And then it changed my login password to her Outlook password, or her Outlook password. How do I, number one, change the login screen to get rid of her picture? And number two, how do I change the password back to something else for logging into the computer itself?
Sure.
I'll kind of explain what's going on here because it's a little bit more complex. With Windows 8 and Windows 10, Microsoft has what they call their live login that gets you access to online Outlook and all sorts of different services and their App Store. By default, what happened when you installed Windows 10 as a consumer is it actually grabbed their account information from online, and that picture and that login came from there because that's how it gets to an app store so you can get apps. You can buy apps for Windows 10 just like you can get apps for a smartphone. And while most people don't realize this and may not know what's happening in the background, is all your usernames and passwords are still there. It's just defaulting to this the Microsoft live login settings connect to the App Store. If you should be able to, after the picture, if you click, it should list the name and stuff. If you enter it, and down in the lower left-hand corner, it should say other user. If you click on that and use your old username and password, it should still log you in, but you won't be connected to the App Store. Probably something you're not caring about, I would assume, if you about it anyway. So, but they should still all be there. It just, like I said, it's defaulting to this online login process.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, Joe, for calling.
Appreciate your help. Bye.
You bet. Have a great weekend. Yeah, I noticed when I installed Windows 10, it came up with my Hotmail login. So I had my little the picture of, it was a Metallica album cover, and of course, I don't know how long it was I logged into Hotmail the last time. It's been years. And then, so I've got that picture there, and then I had to go back and remember what my Hotmail password was to get into my Windows 10, so to get to my desktop. And I'm like, that's kind of crazy.
I'm going to go ahead and recommend Joe keeps the picture of his wife up there and just considers it a feature, not a bug, and then show her, as a Valentine's Day present.
Valentine's Day is coming up,
I think he should just look at that as a gift.
All right. Yeah.
That kind of started Windows 8 just a bit, but really what it is Microsoft really wants you to log online for a seamless app store experience and update experience with your apps and stuff. If you don't log in under the user where you download apps and stuff, they can't update. So that's where it's all coming from. You can agree or disagree with Flossack. I disagree with it because I like my local content. I don't want to depend on the internet to be able to log into my local computer just in case something is going on with the internet. But that's the philosophy behind it. So
there's so many things that can happen with your internet provider, with your router, with your modem, with your cabling. There's a lot of reasons why your internet experience can come to a standstill very quickly, and you're right. You would prefer to be able to log into your computer with or without the internet. But anyway, getting back to this last little bit about the Super Bowl that I wanted to talk about. Carolina Panthers had one of their players, one of their really good linebackers, Thomas Davis, broke his arm and in the last game, and they really need the guy to play in the Super Bowl. And so he had surgery. He had a 5.5-inch plate and about a dozen screws put into his arm. And the theory being that surgery would allow him to play and in the game. And since nothing's really completely healed, they were a little worried about that. And so they found this 3D printing company called White Clouds. They're not exactly sure. It was kind of a friend of a friend of a friend. And they don't usually make medical devices, but they made him a brace for his arm. They 3D printed it to him custom printed it for him. And he's going to be wearing that in the Super Bowl. And I thought that was kind of a neat deal. And I'd never heard of this company, but it sounds like they do some really kind of cool things. They're a full-color 3D printing facility. They can print just about anything. They have kiosks in Target stores where you scan your face, and it will make you into an action figure. I didn't know you could do that.
I was on mute. I was going to say, yeah, I have three already. No, that's a joke. No, 3D printing is, that is the manufacturing of the future.
Yeah. 53 employees.
A friend of mine needed to get a case for an old phone, and as you know, as phones, the cases, people stop selling them fairly quickly after they go out of date. So there's actually places online that will print just about anything 3D if you can send them the specifications. So he just set up the specifications and had a new case printed off for his phone.
This thing took 30 hours to print.
Yep. I have a friend who bought a 3D printer. Mm-hmm. And he's been using it, and he's actually going to print for another coworker of mine for a Halloween costume a proton pack from Ghostbusters. And all the plans are online. All he had to do was download them. It's going to be 155 hours to print out all the parts, though. But it is becoming very viable.
These are little pellets that these printers kind of melt?
They can be many things. Most mainstream printers use a form of plastic or vinyl that are superheated and just kind of attached together. You know, they're extruded out through, kind of exactly like a hot glue gun would do it. You just, instead of done manually, it's all done, with the computer forcing it out. So it's just these little dots of material. And, of course, the smaller the extruder, the finer and more accurate your 3D print device can be. I think we talked about this over 2 years ago, but there are 3D printers out there that print with metal plastic alloys, and you can print a fully functional tool out of these, out of some of the more modern and printers that are not maybe on the market, but on their way. So, In fact, I just read a story about one that they're using in India that is 28 feet by 28 feet to print buildings.
Okay.
Blows my mind.
I'm letting that sink in.
Yeah, I know. They're printing shelters. All you do is you haul this thing in, take one section off, another section off, and of course, this is all just being tested, but it's a firm out of the technology is by a firm out of China, and it prints shelters using. They didn't actually say what the material was, but just amazing stuff. Every time I hear about somebody talk about manufacturing coming back, I'm like, it better come back soon because it's not going to last long.
How long does that take to print a shelter, I wonder?
They didn't say. I assume it would scale up to any other thing, But here's the deal. How long does it take to build a house? So, and all you have to do is have somebody that knows how to unload with a forklift and a technician, and two people can print a shelter in whatever, a couple of days. Amazing.
The time to print really depends on the materials being used, and there are all sorts of different materials and different grades. Because the biggest wait time in most 3D printing is not the actual, you know, putting the little dots out. Is you have to allow the plastic enough time to cool and reform and fusion, fuse back together before you put the next layer on, so it gets strong. So depending on the materials and the resin process they use for strengthening the plastic, it can be fairly quick or can take a long time. The fairly quick stuff just, of course, costs more money.
And, you know, another thing we're missing with when talking about 3D printing and large objects, you know, the flip side of 3D printing is CNC, which has been around longer, but virtually works exactly the same. The technology is just hooked up to, you know, whatever the computer or the device, and instead of printing on a 3D object, what it does is it takes a material, and it could take any material from metal to wood to plastic, and cut out these shapes. Precisely, and there's a whole series of websites and forums dedicated to people that have created the software and these DIY all the way up to commercially available products that cut CNC. So you can build a house out of basically CNC material with no instructions. It would be basically like putting Legos together, but large Legos. You know, you just take some 4x8 sheets, a CNC machine, it cuts it all out, you put it together, and with no skill, and you know, a stack of or several stacks of plywood, you have a shelter or whatever it is you're going to make. So both of those things will kind of combine to make many of the things we'll see in the future.
The biggest entry my friend really had to 3D print is there's a lot of files up on the internet already, but if you don't have an exact file for you want to make, it's basically experience in 3D CAD. If you're good working with a 3D CAD program, you can create anything you want off these 3D printers. That's the main hurdle, is that kind of expertise in being able to create an object in a 3D CAD type program.
And those are getting easier too. Those are getting now easy enough to the point where if you have basic art skills and a small amount of training, you're able to work with these programs. You know, CAD programs like there are several. You used to have to train for years to be able to run these, and now you can get very functional, easy-to-use CAD programs on your phone. So that is, of course, getting easier as well.
Well, speaking from a person that has zero art skills, I'll just leave it to the experts like you to take care of that for me. But very interesting. I want to talk a little bit about podcasting when we come back. There's a big announcement coming from Google, and we have some material to talk about, and we're going to do that after we take a quick break right after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio, featuring the Computer Guys, live from KCSD in Sioux Falls. You can call, text, tweet, or email your questions, or simply swing by our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, and post your comments and questions there. Tweet us at SDPB is the Twitter handle. At midday at sdpb.org is the email address. You may have been using one of our Twitter handles this week if you're following along with the State One Act Play Festival going on in O'Gorman, just across town here. Yesterday, today, ending up tomorrow with the announcement, of course, of all the Superior and plays and people and the kids that put that on. A marvelous experience if you're into the theater and that sort of thing and drama. It's a great great thing to go watch if you're in the area. Public broadcasting is there. We're shooting photos and posting those to our Twitter accounts. SDPB Sports is the Twitter handle at SDPB Sports if you want to follow along. Hashtag, let's see, SD1Acts16 is the Twitter handle for that event. There'll be people posting tweets and photos and Instagrams and things like that. And then, of course, we'll wrap up with coverage of the winners tomorrow. tomorrow afternoon they're announced. We'll have them on the web as soon as we can do that. So follow along there. We're also in the midst of our legislative session, following everything that goes on in Pierre. If a mic opens up, we've got a live webcast. And again, sdpb.org is the place to go. You'll find a link to southdakotachannel.org. And all the live streams are there. We have live audio and video of the House and Senate and live audio of everything else. And that's all there. SDPB Radio has, of course, reports throughout the day, sdpb.org. And new this year is a podcast, the Legislative Wrap-Up Podcast. We basically take the day in summary and deliver it to you on your device. And if you're if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you know that the podcasting app is a friendly thing to you, or you use iTunes. Some people do that as well to get their podcasts, like Serial or some of the more popular ones on public radio. There's a ton of them. This American Life, and of course, we're starting to have more and more podcasts available. Dakota Cast, Nate Weck is a popular one every week, and he also digests the weekend news from SDPB Radio, and that's all in a podcast. What's exciting is an announcement that'll be coming soon that Google is finally integrating podcasts into their Play Store. So rather than another app you have to go download for your Android device, for your tablet or for your phone or for whatever runs Android in your house, you'll be able to enjoy podcasting without another external app. Like, you know, I think Stitcher was bought by a foreign country, or not a foreign country, a foreign company, and turned into something else. And there's been a few forays into podcasting for Android, but this is going to kind of take care of that. And of course, Alphabet, which is now Alphabet, is going to be doing this. And I don't know why they use the word Alphabet. I'm just going to keep calling them Google. But
they just split the company off into two.
But why is my question? But
probably money related.
If you care to find these podcasts, it's very simple. sdpb.org/podcasts, and you'll see the ones that we have available. There's a couple NPR in there as well on that page, but please do listen to those and let us know what you think. Give us some feedback on those. It would be a wonderful thing if you would do that. sdpb.org/podcasts. And again, great news for Android users. They're going to make it incredibly convenient for you using the Google Play Store and the music part of that that's integrated into all the devices. Joel, you had a couple of things today, and
yes.
Tell me more about the Apple Watch story.
Oh yeah, I'm going to tell this one too because I have a third thing I really want to get in. First, and you should go find the video. And the Apple Watch is not the real part of this story, of course.
Right.
Tesla has now updated the software in their Model S vehicle that allows it to drive, start up, and drive to your door to pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
And an early version of that is demonstrated by a gentleman who uses his Apple Watch and a third-party app to summon his car to open his garage door, start the car up, drive out to his sidewalk, which is really only about 20 feet, 30 feet away,
mm-hmm.
And there it is. And he shows the whole process. It's a very viral video. You will find it if you go look for it. Amazing stuff, and it's just a software update to imagine. You know, I couldn't have even imagined 15 years ago if you said, yeah, and you know, the software updates you get on your computer, eventually your car will have those. I just can't imagine such as it's a really great video. You should totally check it out. And it's just a software update.
There's a couple other Tesla things in the news that were very humorous this week as well.
Of course.
One has to do with a person that wrote a not so great review of not the car, but the way a launch event went. And Elon Musk called the guy up, called him out on it, and then ended up canceling the guy's order for the car.
That is awesome.
So it's like, you know, hey, rude people aren't going to get the car. Kind of, it, that, yes. That's the way they spun the story on the internet. Right. And then there's another one about a Craigslist ad that's I think it might even be out of the cities or something. But there's several humorous Tesla articles in the news this week, as well as the video that we'd like you to go watch. When I first saw that story about the guy summoning the car with the watch, I thought, this has got to be, you know, they rigged this.
Or it's a car test that we won't see for 4 or 5 years. It's just a regular guy. Amazing stuff. So the other thing I want to mention, and I probably should have mentioned last time, there was a Kickstarter for, I believe it was Kickstarter, for that got funded, of course, for a computer called Chip. I don't know if you've heard about this computer. Have you? No? It's a $9 computer. And it is fully funded, and you can order them now. And they're going to start shipping in June, and there's already some pre-release versions out there. It's a $9 computer, and get this, it has Wi-Fi, B, G, and N built in, a gigahertz processor, 4 gigs of storage, 512 megs of RAM, Bluetooth 4, and display out on it. So it work with any HDMI, composite, VGA. You just have to use an adapter. And it's all on something about the size of a credit card. Maybe a bit smaller and clearly a little thicker. And that's it. $9. And you get a computer with a 4 gig, you know, solid state hard drive, 512 megs of RAM, and an operating system. You just plug it in, hook up a keyboard, plug it into whatever you have. And it boots.
What kind of operating system?
Clearly, it uses Linux
or Ubuntu or whatever.
Yeah, I think it has its own, you know, flavor. It's called a Chip. Anyway, the device is called Chip, and you go to getchip.com and just get yourself a 6-pack. So you for just amazing. And of course, they have versions that have built. You know, you can buy it with a built-in touch keyboard, and it's just, you have to go check it out. $9 computer.
I would imagine if Amos were here, he'd have a 12-pack by now, I think.
Yes. It's not a Mac, but even I'm going to get one.
I saw something similar that was using Linux software. It was a tablet computer that was kind of taking the place of a desk. They were selling it as taking the place of a desktop. So you could plug a big monitor in, you have a wireless keyboard and mouse, and this is your desktop computer running Linux, and you can just unplug everything and take it away as a tablet. And I did not see a price point on that, but I saw a functionality price point for me that thought, oh, that's kind of a neat deal. Because a lot of people with that small apartments, so they don't have a lot of room, they don't like having a desktop computer that takes up a bunch of space everywhere. And this could be something interesting.
And audio out. One thing I saw somebody do, which just floored me, you can use this little device to hook up to a wireless speaker, and it becomes it turns any speaker into an AirPlay or a Wi-Fi speaker. So for $9, you can plug this thing in, and any speaker becomes a wireless speaker.
Oh man!
Yeah,
there people are going to have some interesting ways of.
Yeah, this shouldn't shock anybody, because the computer that's, you know, in birthday cards is not far off from the capabilities that you would need to run this. Of course, the big deal with this is it's got memory, hard drive, and inputs, outputs. That's of course the big deal. But the brain and getting it that cheap shouldn't surprise anybody.
Hey, most birthday cards are about $9 now anyway.
Yeah, right. Well, my favorite thing to quote is the chip that's in your birthday card is more powerful than what the computer that was used to land men on the moon. It's more powerful than all of the computers put together that landed men on the moon.
Oh, that's amazing. Hey, we have a listener question. Ron in Rapid City says, I work on Windows XP. Everything is fine. Except for Google Chrome says that they will no longer be supporting it. Does this mean I'm dropped or what is the question? Jeff, do you have an answer for Ron in Rapid City?
Yeah, remember, Windows XP has been end of life with no patches nor support by Microsoft for coming on 2 years, maybe even more than that, 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
XP support has been dropped. What happened, though, is Chrome and Firefox have kept supporting it along with Flash and some other apps. Everyone is now dropping all support for XP. Now, what that means for you in many cases is you will no longer be able to update any of your apps, either for security or features. Chrome is dropping support soon. Flash is also. And Firefox, I think, might be in April or May of this year. After that point, your programs that you have installed just keep working, though they may bug you that you are running an out-of-date operating system that you do need to update because just for security reasons, you are no longer protected. Many of the antivirus programs will be dropping support for XP, so they will no longer run at all nor be updated. And if an antivirus cannot be updated, well, you might as well uninstall it at that point because it's not going to protect you at all. So everyone should be off XP. There is no legitimate reason at this point for anyone to be running Windows XP. If you have very, very old apps, maybe, but that computer should never be connected to the internet anymore. Otherwise, you should be able to upgrade and update all your apps. But and you're going to see more and more of this here soon, where most major apps already are no support for XP, but for the internet programs and stuff, they will stop being supported. Some may even stop working over time entirely. It's just kind of the nature that XP is a dead OS at this point, and should not be. It cannot be recommended for use in any fashion at this point, just for cybersecurity reasons.
Is there a browser that Ron could use in the meantime while he's looking on upgrading a computer?
I know of no browser that's continuing XP support at all. Now, like I said, it'll probably continue to run, but you will not get updates. You will not get bug fixes. You will not, it's going to go stale over time. And I think, especially with Google and their stance, I would bet that it will stop working and or prompt you every 30 seconds to say, please upgrade your OS and get to a current level that can be supported. Just because they are very security conscious and they know what kind of security risks this will move. But I know of no browser, there may be one out there, that still has any support for XP or will have support through June of this year. And like Flash, even Flash and stuff, they are no longer updating XP. They are dropping support for XP. Adobe, pretty much across the board, is dropping support for XP. So if you're running any old Adobe apps, you're not going to be able to upgrade or buy new versions of those either. So XP had its great time. It was a fun time, but it needs to be buried now. It just passed its due date without patches for way too long at this point, unless you have some very legitimate need, and then it should not be on a network.
Okay. Well, so Ron, sorry about the news there, but looks like you'll be either getting a new operating system or a new computer soon. Speaking of fun,
I will point out that unless his computer is very, very old, most Windows 7 and by side part Windows 10 will run on that hardware. So there is an upgrade path without necessarily need new hardware. Windows 7 actually runs a little bit faster than XP on the same hardware as does 10, as long as you have enough memory. So if your computer is not too old when you got it with XP, it should run Windows 10, maybe a little slow, but not that much slower than XP. So it just, unfortunately, you've gone by the time where you could get a free upgrade. If you had upgraded a few years ago, you could have upgraded to Windows 7 and then upgrade to Windows 10 for free. Those upgrades are expired, so it is like a $200 upgrade for the OS now, but as long as you have pretty close hardware to when XP was discontinued, you should be fine.
Okay, well, that's good news for Ron. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank my panelists today and remind you that SDPB is always there for you with our app, the sdpb.org app. You can get that in the Android or Apple store, SDPB app there. Just go on there and click on listen, and SDPB radio is with you everywhere you go, sort of taking your smartphone and actually meaning it. Our next show, February 19th, is Tech Radio. Be sure to set your calendars for that. We would love to have you come back and join us for that show. With that, Joel Brovoit, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
And Jeff Litterick and Peer, keep things humming up there. And Jeff, and keep our legislators on track, and have a great weekend, okay?